Thanksgiving. Just what is that? Thanksgiving, simply put, is a compound word that brings together two ideas, giving and thanks. And today we're going to have a little meditation on Thanksgiving and a variety of verses related to Thanksgiving. And starting with Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. The words I want to focus on are tucked away in verse 6, so I'll read those words in their context. Paul had just written a very encouraging letter to the church of the Philippians, and now he's giving some final summary exhortations, as is his custom. He says in verse 4 of chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Well, there is so much there, and we've explored it before. But today I want to focus on those two little words. Those two little words serve as medicine that protects us from so much that is damaging to our heart and soul and mind. It's a very powerful antidote to whatever ails us. Those two words are with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Just what is that? Thanksgiving? Well, it's a compound word that brings together two simple thoughts, giving and thanks. We think of the beginning of the Thanksgiving holiday as a pilgrim thing, but really our Thanksgiving holiday's history is rooted in English traditions dating from the very Protestant Reformation that we've been talking about in our current series. Inspired, no doubt, by biblical accounts of celebrations by the people of God. But in England, special days of Thanksgiving became important during the Reformation, during the reign of Henry VIII. Now, I know putting Henry VIII and the Reformation in the same sentence probably seems strange, for Henry VIII was no godly man. But it's no accident that he would be a pro-Reformation king. As I mentioned before, the Reformation was primarily a fight over the issue of authority. Before the Reformation, popes held the authority over the Western civilized world, including England. But the Reformers held that Scripture, not popes, had the final authority over all things related to faith and morals and Christian life. So England, coming out from under the power of the Pope, who was in Italy, meant that Henry VIII had no other sovereign interfering with his reign. So he liked the Reformers, so long as they stayed out of his business. So starting in Henry's day, there were specially called days of fasting and days of thanksgiving. Disasters called for days of fasting, and special blessings called for days of thanksgiving. For example, days of thanksgiving were called following the victory over the Spanish Armada in 1588. And days of fasting were called on account of various plagues, drought, and floods that menaced the country at different times. So the pilgrims brought this tradition from England to the New World to give thanks for special blessings. But as we just read in Philippians, Scripture calls for more than special Thanksgiving events, but Thanksgiving at all times. And I think it's times like those we live in today that Thanksgiving is most medicinal. Times of insecurity and conflict. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, he said that rejoicing plus prayer with thanksgiving results in the following. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's interesting. The peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. Our hearts and minds need guarding. If it weren't so, Paul would not have said this. Our hearts and minds need guarding, but what do they need guarding from? Quite a few things can damage our hearts and minds. Gloom, depression, unbelief, doubts and fears, terrors in the night, forebodings, loneliness, mistrust, even anger and bitterness, wars, conflicts, sickness, fears of sickness, even the madness of today's politics. It all does damage. Paul discovered for himself the secret to preserving his heart and mind, praising God and thanking God. Those words have different meaning. To praise God has to do with voicing who God is and what are his various wonderful attributes. Thanksgiving has to do with acknowledging what he has done for us. Praise is our natural response to who he is, just as thanksgiving is for what he has done. Here's some other scriptures where we see praise and thanksgiving together. Psalm 100, beginning with verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Those verses tell us what we should do. The next verse gives us a reason why. Verse 5 of Psalm 100, for the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. In fact, he's a very definition of goodness. But not just that. It also says, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There are many popular love songs that talk about endless love, but that's just hyperbole, just poetic exaggeration. But when it comes to God's love, it's not exaggeration. It does. It really does endure forever. Here's another. Psalm 106:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. And Psalm 118, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. When we set our hearts and minds to praise and thank God, to rejoice and delight in the Lord, God is not indifferent to that praise and thanksgiving, nor does he ignore it. God delights in our delight of him, and he responds with blessing. Sometimes that blessing can be very direct and practical. There was an incident in Israel's history that illustrates this point very well. It happened in the days of King Jehoshaphat, one of the descendants of King David. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 2, it says, some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And Jehoshaphat prayed an earnest prayer for God's help. And verse 14 says, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. verse 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. In verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The illustration here is the people of God were faced with a great battle, as indeed we have battles every day, some big battles, some little battles. They had a big battle to face, and they faced it, but not with sword and spear, but with praise and thanksgiving. And you know what? God so delighted in that praise and thanksgiving that he fought the battle for them, just as he does for us. And God is a lot better at fighting our battles than we are. Our main battle, then, is the battle for faith in our own hearts and minds, the battle for hope in the face of hopelessness, the battle for peace in the midst of conflict, the battle for joy in the midst of sorrow. That's where our battle is, the battle for trust in the Lord, the daily battle to rejoice in the Lord always, the battle to praise God with thanksgiving. We fight that battle, and the Lord will take care of most of the rest of the things that perplex our souls. And when our hearts and minds are full of praise, full of rejoicing in the Lord, full of thankfulness, we really haven't room for gloom or bitterness or complaining or anger or disappointment or fear. Instead, we delight in Jesus, because to the believer, he is delightful in every way. And if we have any trouble believing that, we just don't know him well enough. Not yet. Not near well enough. I came across something written by theologian Albert Barnes that's very applicable, so I'll read it to you, of why believers in Jesus have such good reason to rejoice. He said that, first of all, and I'm quoting, they should rejoice that they have such a Savior as Jesus. He said people everywhere have felt the need of a Savior, and to us it should be a subject of true joy that one has been provided for us. When we think of our sins, we may now rejoice that there is one who can deliver us from them. When we think of the worth of the soul, we may rejoice that there is one who can save it from death, who can rescue us from all peril and bring us to a world where we shall be forever safe. He also says that Jesus accomplishes just what we want a Savior to do. We need one to make known to us a way of forgiveness, and he does it. We need one to make an atonement for sin, and he does it. We need one to give us peace from a troubled conscience, and he does it. We need one to support us in trials and sorrows, and he does it. We need one who can comfort us on the bed of death and guide us through the dark valley. And the Lord Jesus is just what we want. Happy Thanksgiving.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, more I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.